All right, we'll say good evening. Good evening. Let us continue. Baruch Hashem, we are in the exciting world of juicing fruits. Whoever knew, Baruch Hashem, that it could be so. Isn't that a great? Is that a gum? Juicy fruit? Juicy fruit. It's a gum, right? It's gum. Taste, right. It's going to move you. Right, three times. Right. I remember that. Okay. Good. Not juicy fruit, but juicing fruits. I just want to be clear. All right. So let us begin. So remember again, quick review of a couple of Yisodos from last week. We saw that in last week's share, we had basically three different categories. Is that, are you still singing? Enough, right? So we saw that in last week's share, we had essentially three different categories. We had Zeisim Va'anavim. Right, grapes and olives, for which there is an isur d'oraisa to go ahead and squeeze them. And halach l'maaseh, even if the juice flows out of them by themselves, you still can't go ahead and use it. Second category, and I will say again, in zeisim va'anavim, that category understood that these items are primarily used for their juices. Primarily used, the majority of use is for their juices. Category under that was tusim berimonim, literally again pomegranates and berries. So those were fruits that are sometimes juiced, but not the majority of time. So those halacha l'maaseh also can't juice, you can't actively juice them. What if the juice flowed out of those fruits? So again, remember, there we saw an interesting distinction as well to whether or not the fruits were set aside for consumption or for juicing. If they're set aside for consumption, then you could go ahead and eat or drink the juices that flow out of them. If they were set aside for juicing, you can't go ahead and use the juices which flowed out of them. And the last category, sharperos. What's halacha sharperos? You could go ahead and drink the juices that flow out, whether or not the fruit itself is set aside for consumption or for juicing. We saw Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, who essentially collapsed everything kind of into two categories. He said that pretty much today, that halacha l'maaseh, since we juice everything, so halacha l'maaseh, again, everything is pretty much zeisim va'anavim and tusim berimonim. We pretty much eliminated the category of shar peros. Okay, so we'll say, so with that, let's continue today on page, what would be, my source is actually not numbered, page three, and let's actually begin today with source number five. We're going to skip around a little bit. Today we're not going to do everything on these source sheets. Losokel isha chalav midadel, losokha kos, or losokha kedera. So literally translated, a woman should not express milk into a cup or into a receptacle, visonik espana, in order to go ahead and nurse her child. So the pashtos, what the Shulchan Aruch is prohibiting over here, is the act of pumping breast milk on Shabbos. One can't do this. Why not? What's wrong with pumping milk on Shabbos? The Mishnah Berurah says in number six, Mishum Mefarik. Now, say, remember again, always Chazor. What's Mefarik? Right? Dosh what? Dosh with your hands, right? Dosh with your hands or dosh without a utensil, essentially, right? So again, it's Mefarik. So the act of extracting a liquid, ultimately, again, from something else, is called Mefarik. Therefore, a woman can't express milk or can't pump on Shabbos. Now, that being said, the Shulchan Aruch does say, Mutra li'isha lekaleach me'achalav kedei sheyochas atinok hadad v'yonek. What a woman can do is express a little bit of milk so that the child is able to latch on. Okay, so we'll say, so let's see, where does this come up? Now, this is actually a very shayach sugya, because we'll say, so what does a woman do if she needs to pump on Shabbos? So take a look at number nine. So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes as follows. He says, Menekes. Now, the Shmir Shabbos begins with a more, I'll call it like a more extreme case. He says as follows, Menekes, Shemishum Ma'atinok, Eino Yachol Yonok Mishtei Imo. So let's say you have a child, a baby, who's unable to nurse. The baby can't latch on, whatever it is. The baby can't nurse. Or let's say a baby who's in the hospital. The mother is not staying with the baby in the hospital. So every day the mother has to pump milk in order to bring to her baby. And the child is primarily nursed. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, he says, Tishoiv esachalav mishada letoch kli gam b'shabis. So Rishon Zalman essentially paskins that halacha l'maisa in a situation where the child primarily relies on breast milk, so halacha l'maisa the mother could pump on Shabbos. So again, to be clear, if the Shulchan Aruch was saying that a woman can't pump on Shabbos, that's if all things being equal, the child could just as easily nurse from the mother. Let's say the mother wants to pump just for convenience purposes. You can't do that on Shabbos. But in, let's say, again, this particular case where the mother needs to go ahead and get the baby milk, let's say the baby, again, is either having problems latching, or the baby is chas v'shalom hospitalized, and the mother needs to pump milk. So in those cases, she could pump milk into a bottle on Shabbos. He says, "Im shakeu chalav acher teasazos ayde shimush v'meshav hashmolis hamuf alas ayde shaon Shabbos or mashava yadanis aval lo totzia chalav shelo litzorech haShabbos." So we'll say, so this is actually interesting. So let's work backwards. So first of all, Shmuel Shabbos Hilchasa says, obviously, even if she has a license to pump on Shabbos, let's say for the baby, so first of all, she should only make sure to pump what she needs for Shabbos. In other words, she shouldn't say that when she's pumping, so she'll pump for Sunday also. So the heter to pump only applies on Shabbos. And here he says something very interesting, which at first glance even sounds a little bit counterintuitive. He says if she could use an electric pump, that is preferable. An electric pump that, let's say, put on a timer, so she knows when it's going to come on. She could put it on herself when either before it goes on, even when it's on, preferably before it goes on. That's ideal. Now, the truth is, the logic behind that is then she doesn't have to do anything. So process is being done to her, and therefore, halacha lemaaseh, that's ideal. Now, if you can't do that, she can manually pump herself. Now, the truth is, in this kind of case, he writes, so take a look at the bottom footnote. He says, "V'shamati megaram shalom zalm arbach satzal tegami matinok adayin lo hisragia lechalav aim shakavana sho hisragia linok mea aim ela bemtzos kli." So we'll say, so this is important. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, just to kind of contemporize this a little bit, well, you could say, well, why does mother have to pump? Use formula. So remember, the halach of views, I'm sorry? We did this Shabbos cover. So we'll say, so the idea over here is, since mother's milk is the natural food for the child, the halacha makes an allowance for the mother to pump. In other words, it's interesting. There is an alternative. There's a legitimate alternative, right? An excellent alternative, right? Similac, you can use Similac. What do we have to go through all this? No, because since the natural food for the baby is the mother's milk, therefore, again, the need to provide that milk is, so to speak, safek sakana. An infant in general is considered to be in a state of mortal danger, and therefore the mother is allowed to do whatever she needs to do to get the baby the milk. Okay, so we'll say, so this is a very important halacha. So again, you have a, in this, yes?
So last week we said that Mepharic, in number four, we brought down the Mishmaru, said that Mepharic is a told of Dash and therefore Deraisa. So when the Mishmaru says here in number six that it's Vishnu Mepharic is expressing the milk,
it's Doraisa. Yeah. Correct. Correct. So we'll say, take a look at number 10. So we'll say, so another case, just another nursing case, because Baruch Hashem, these cases are shayach. V'chein hi ba'atzma yichola lahotzi biyada chalav hametzar osa. Now we'll say, now what happens if the woman is engorged? And as a result, she needs to express milk, not for the child, not for the baby, but to alleviate her own pain. So the Shulchan Aruch says she's allowed to do this. So she's allowed to express milk in order to alleviate her own pain. Now, why is this permitted? So again, remember, as Rabbi Yehuda just mentioned, that if this is mefarik, if this is a toldah of dash, so what? Why is she allowed to do this? So the Mishnah Berurah says in number 11 something very interesting. First of all, l'hotzi biyada al ha'aretz. So Rabbi says, we're going to keep seeing. So remember, again, this license to alleviate her pain by expressing milk is also presupposing that she's not expressing it into a kli or into a bottle, but rather, again, she's expressing it onto the ground. Now, by the way, lav dafka has to be onto the ground. The idea is, we'll qualify this in just a little bit, she has to render it unusable, as we'll see. It says, de'ein ze kiderech mefarik, kevan shaholech li'ibud. So we'll say, this is very simple logic. What's the logic? What is the told of mefarik? What is the malach of mefarik? What's the goal of mefarik? To utilize the liquid, right? So in this case over here, because the express purpose of the liquid, or, you know, because she's expressing the milk and it's not being used, right? The goal over here is not to get the milk. The goal over here is to alleviate pain and suffering. Therefore, it's not called mefarik. It's not called mefarik. It's very interesting. It says, furthermore, the potter or mishum tsar logasim. So we'll say, so now listen to this. Furthermore, it's a malach shen tzricha l'gufa. Right? In other words, even if you hold it is mefarik, it's not really mefarik because it's not being done for the intention, for the intended purpose. And it's also a case of tsar. So kind of when you put this all together, ultimately it will be mutafar to express milk in order to alleviate pain and suffering. Now, remember, this only works if the milk is not being used. That's why the Mishnah Berurah says she's expressing the milk onto the ground. Shmir Shabbos says in number 12, expounds on this a little bit. He says, Meinekes sheyesh la odef chalav. So if a woman is engorged, v'hi sovelas b'shelkach, and she's in pain as a result. So mekalachas esa chalav ha'odef l'soch kior o al haritzpa. She could express the milk until she alleviates her discomfort, literally into the sink or onto the floor. Umutra abeged o achitul bar. So skip a little bit. He says, what happens? He says, look at the second paragraph. V'im kashala lehotzi es achalav ha'odef bederach zu. So we'll say, let's say for whatever the reason, it's difficult for her to express the milk in this way. Now we'll say, now what is he referring to over here? So in general, this works when a woman can express the milk by hand. Let's say she can't do it by hand. Let's say she needs a pump in order to go ahead and express the milk. So in that case, the issue is that a pump itself is usually attached to a receptacle. So now, again, now we're going to get into a problem ultimately again of mefarik. In other words, we'll say, it's not enough to say you don't want the milk, right? It's not enough to say, it's not my kavana for the milk. If the milk is usable, we're going to end up getting into a situation of mefarik. The only reason, according to the Shulchan Aruch, this case works is because the milk is unusable when it comes out of her body because it's going onto the floor. So what if she can't express the milk by hand? She has to use the pump, which means the milk is pooling in a receptacle. What do you do then? So he says something amazing. He says, so she can use a pump, right? Even though it's going to go into a receptacle. However, so what can you do? So Shmir Shabbos says, what you do is you have to find a way to render the milk immediately unusable. So what's the easy way to do that? Put a little bit of soap into the receptacle into which the milk is being collected. That way the milk is unusable from the beginning. In other words, milk coming into a receptacle in which there is soap is no different than what? No different than what? Milk going on the floor. It's the same thing. So therefore, again, if she has to use a pump in order to go ahead and express the milk, make sure to do so in a way that the milk immediately becomes invalidated. All right, interesting. One last piece. Hotzas chalav mishtei ha'eim uteres, k'nis kalel, af im ke'esa isha eno sobelas, v'gam atinok eno yonei ke'es. So we'll say, there's a third case, right? So case number one is, let's say, a mother who needs to pump for her baby who's either not latching or not present. You know, let's say hospitalized. Okay, so that we said mutter. Case number two is a woman who's engorged and needs to express milk in order to go out and remedy pain. Also going to be mutter as long as what? Milk is rendered unfit, invalid from the beginning. Case number three is an interesting case. Case number three comes up in a woman who has a limited milk supply, in which case she needs to pump regularly in order to keep up the supply. So in other words, here, the baby's eating enough, right? The baby's fine, the baby's nursing, but here she needs to keep up supply. Because she needs to keep up supply, she needs to keep pumping on a more regular basis. So here, there was his third case. Hotzas chalav mishtei ha'eim uteres, ga'af im ke'es ha'isha eino sovelas, gam atinok eino yonei ke'es. Aval, kayim chashash, shashadayim yisyavshu, v'hi lo suchal od lo hanik la'achar zman. So we'll say, again, case number three is where there's a concern that her milk supply will dry up if she doesn't constantly pump. She's allowed to pump or express milk as well. Again, with the caveat that what? That when she pumps or expresses the milk, that ultimately it's rendered immediately useless. So three cases in which pumping could be mutter, but two out of the three cases really require that the milk be rendered unfit immediately. Okay, interesting case. Bose, let's skip a little bit. And now let's go to number 17. So now we come to the interesting topic of literally, again, juicing fruits into food. So we'll say, so now take a look at source number 17. Gemara Masechet Shabbos. Amar Rav. Sochet Adam Eshkol Shan Rav Masocha Kedera. Avalo Vesocha Kara. So we'll say, this is actually a pretty dramatic Gemara, especially based on what we learned before. Remember again, we'll say, when we were introduced to Mefarik, to Schitas Peros, so remember again, we'll say, the one thing, right? The one thing that was always a constant, that was a no-go from out of the gate was what? Was what? Right? Grapes and olives. Zeisim v'anav. Zeisim v'anavim. Isidar Raisa, right? Even the juices that flow out on their own going to be biblically prohibited. So we'll say there is a fascinating exception to this rule. What's the fascinating exception? So Rav says, Sochet Adam Eshkol Shal Anavim L'socha Kedera Avalo L'socha Ka'ara. A person could squeeze a cluster of grapes into a Kedera. We'll say Kedera means a pot of food. A pot of food, but not into an empty pot or an empty plate. So you could take a cluster of grapes and go ahead and squeeze it to extract the juices, as long as those juices are immediately going into food. Going into food. What's the logic? Take a look at number 18. Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha as well. Motra lischot eshkal anav mesoch kider sheish batavshil kedei latakin ha'ochel. You're allowed to squeeze grapes. Now, I just want to point out that Shulchan Aruch is this halach is not limited to grapes, right? But the Shulchan Aruch is illustrating it with grapes, right? Why? Because, of course, if you could do it with grapes, then what? Then what? You could do it with anything, right? See, you could, really, the way almost to read the halach is, you could even squeeze a cluster of grapes directly into food itself, and it's mutter. Now, it's interesting. If you look at the Lashon over here, it says, why am I squeezing the grapes into the food? Kadei latakin ha'ochel. How would you translate it? To improve the food. So I'm not just stam squeezing grapes into food. In other words, there's a benefit to the solid food item now that the grape juice is being added. The havilei mashke habala ochel uke ochel dami. Why? Well, so here's the rule: liquid that is squeezed into food doesn't have the status of food. But I'm sorry, doesn't have the status of liquid, but has the status of food. In other words, we'll define this in just a moment again, but one more time. Mashka bala ochel ka ochel dami. Liquid squeezed into food doesn't have the status of liquid, but rather has the status of food. Aval in batav shil aser. But obviously, if you're squeezing the grapes into just like a plate, even if you're going to introduce food later on, that's going to be aser. All right, so. Hold on. We're going to get to that. Excellent. Take a look at number 19. Mishnah Berurah. So Mishnah says as follows. He says like this. We'll say, what's the logic over here, right? So what's the logic that if I take grapes and I squeeze the juice out, but the juice goes into food, that's not mefarik. That's not mefarik because juice that goes into food doesn't have the status of juice. It has the status of food. What's the logic? So the Mishnah says, mefarik v'zeisim ha'anavim, eino ki'im b'shetzarech l'schitas ha'prid l'mashka, Sha'az chashuv prika shemefarek hamashke min ha'ochel. So Rabbi will say, this is very interesting. Mishnah Berurah says, it's a definitional issue. The concept of mefarek. Rabbi will say, what is the definition of mefarek? Definition of mefarek? Detaching liquid from its original source. The melacha is when you want the liquid. When you want the liquid. But really, there's one more piece to it. When you want the liquid by itself. But once the liquid is really no longer desired on its own, but it's only desired as an additive to food, then the liquid really never retains its one identity. I both say, you know what this is reminiscent of? Do you remember last week, on the first page of these sources over here, we quoted the Archos Shabbos. Just jump back to that just for one second. The Archos Shabbos gave us in source number 2, again, the first page of the Maror Makomos, The Archos Chaim writes Mishum Sha, and the underlying lines Mishum Sha Mitzvah Hayotzei Me'azeis Ma'anavim Yesh Lo Shem Mashke. When you squeeze liquid out of grapes or out of olives, so that liquid has a name. What is it called? Grape juice, olive oil. In other words, it has a Shem Mashke. Va'piruk Sha Mashke Me'ochel Nechshav Melacha Mishum Sheyotzer Umolid Davar Chadash. See, the Archos Chaim, Archos Shabbos says like this. The concept of mefarik, and specifically by schitas peros, is you are creating something new. You're extracting the liquid, and now the liquid itself has a brand new identity. Right? When you just had a grape, all you had was a grape. Now you squeeze out the juice, there's something new. There's a new identity, a new thing. It's called grape juice. You have olives, you squeeze the olive, you have a new thing, oil. What the Mishnah Berurah now is saying, really what the Shulchan Aruch is saying, what the Gemara is saying is, that logic only applies when the juice is going to be extant, when the oil is going to be... But the moment you're taking the juice and you're squeezing it into food, then the juice doesn't retain its own individual identity. The oil doesn't retain its own individual identity. It becomes subsumed by the identity of the food that it's being added to. That's not the malacha of mefarik. It's not the malacha. Go back to number 19. He says, "Shemefarik hamashkem in ha'ocham, ma'she'en kein bazeh, ein derech prikaso." So we'll say, so again, the definition of the malacha of mefarik is detaching a liquid from its original solid source, and then that liquid remains in that state, in that liquid state. The moment the liquid is not intended to remain in its liquid state, but it's getting mixed in with something else, that's not mefarik. It's just a definitional issue. That's not mefarik. Davi kemafrid ochal me'ochal. Because then I'll say, essentially, the liquid that's extracted from the grape or from the olive just has the status of food. In other words, it's almost as if you're mixing in the grape with the food. Almost as if you're mixing in the olive with the food. Vayim lekamei ba'agah. Okay, so good. So we'll say, so that's that. Shemir Shabbos Kil Chosol, in number 20, says as follows. He says, Mutra lischot biyad l'socha ochel kishiyadua sherov hamitz hanischot yisapik b'socho o ba'asher hamitz balatakin estam ha'ochel. So we'll say, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa essentially says, you can do this, but this only works in one of two ways. Either the majority of the liquid being squeezed ultimately, again, is absorbed into the solid food item, or the liquid is clearly being squeezed onto the food to enhance the taste of the food. So you need to satisfy one of those two criteria. Either A, the majority of the liquid is being absorbed into the food, right? Which sounds like you could do that even if the liquid does or doesn't really enhance the food. If the whole thing is being absorbed into the food, then it's fine. Or B, even if the whole thing is not absorbed, but it's clear that this liquid's role is to enhance the flavor of the food, that's going to be mutter. It's going to be mutter. Very interesting. Take a look. So both sides, take a look at the next paragraph in number 20. Ratz latakin es hatam atov shal ha'ochlin, aval lo shal ha'mashkin, aydi osafas mitz miperos, mutra lo lischot pri biyad, velo b'kli ha'miyucha l'kach al ha'ochlin. So both sides, so if I want to take a fruit, and I want to squeeze the juice of the fruit ultimately again onto the food, in order to go and improve the taste of the food, totally mutter. Now, you can't use like a juicer, right? You can't use a kli for that, but there's no problem taking your hand and just so you have a salad and you, on your salad, you like having fresh olive oil, right? No problem taking olives and squeezing them onto the salad. You want grape dressing on your, I'm sorry? Oh, lemon, we're going to deal with lemons actually separately, but yes, ostensibly, same halacha. I have a piece of fish and I want lemon on my fish. It should be no problem to squeeze the lemon right onto that. It was, and he says something very interesting. He says,
is that specific if it's a kli that's designed to juice, or let's say like the back of a spoon or something like that that you're using?
Kli miyucha lekach. No, it's dafka. It's a specific squeezing kli. Yeah, back of a spoon would be fine. Look at this. Rez Rosa, he says, "Vafilu ein amitz hanisrat nistapik besocham." So now, again, in Gimel, just to show what's happening over here, in source number 20, in paragraph Gimel, Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa outlined that you could squeeze fruit, any fruit you want, even olives and grapes, onto a solid food, providing that one of two criteria are met. Number one, that it's being used to go and enhance the flavor, or number one, that it's being used to enhance the flavor, or number two, that the majority of it is absorbed into the solid food. In Zion, and now in the footnote, he's just expanding on this. So again, he says just explicitly, good. Skip down a little bit. He says, okay, you're allowed to squeeze fruit into the food in order to improve. Thank you. Improve the food. Look at the last two lines. V'im kein, yeshnam shnei dinim. So here's the summary. There are really two halachas. Aleph. Hecha dibala takin es ha'ochel, afilu eina nivla besocho. So Rabbi said, this is very important. So, number one is, if you're squeezing the fruit onto the solid food, to benefit the food, to improve the taste of the food, in that case, even if the majority of the juice is not absorbed into the food, that is going to be absolutely mutter. So let's just use Ellie's case for a second, right? So I'm taking the lemon, I'm squeezing the whole lemon onto the fish. It could be there's going to be a whole pool of lemon juice, right, on the fish. So most of it maybe wasn't absorbed. That's fine. Again, like I said, we're going to deal with lemon separately. But that's fine because halacha lemais says clear that it's being done for the taste benefit in the solid food. That's aleph. Beis, hecha de'inabal atakin as ha'ochel. Aval nivla besocha ochel. Case number two, I will say, would be, well, let's say the item being squeezed onto the food doesn't actually materially improve the taste of the food, but it's fully absorbed. Now, why you're doing it? Let's say you could be doing it for a number of different reasons. I'll give you a simple example. You're squeezing grapes, you want the grape juice because, let's say, you want to impact the coloring of the food item, right? You want to impact the coloring. I don't care about the taste, but I want the grape juice hue in my food, which, I'm sorry? So we paskin ein tzviya ba'ochlin, that there's no dyeing by foods, right? But that's an excellent point. We'll get to dyeing as well. Mir Hashem, I mean, we all get to dyeing, but I'm saying dy with a y. So lemaisa, and it's very interesting. So in that case, it's fine as long as the majority of the liquid is absorbed into the food itself. So one of two ways to go ahead and squeeze a fruit into solids, either again. Number one, halacha lemaisa, again, it's being used clearly and explicitly to improve the taste, or beis, it's being fully absorbed into the food item itself. Okay, so now, fine. So let's skip a little bit. Now, Steve's point. So now, based on this, it appears that we have solved our fruit salad issue from last week. Right, but remember again, last week we left with a little bit of tzarich ian. I want to make my fruit salad, and I want to include grapes. What's the problem with including grapes in the fruit salad? What's the problem? Right? The grape juice. Remember, again, juice that oozes from grapes is usser. So I will say, so based on this, actually, this is brought down by the Archo Shabbos. Archo Shabbos brings down that it should be fine. It should be fine. Since any juice that oozes out of the grapes is absorbed, so to speak, in the mixture of the fruit salad, it would be absolutely fine. You'll be able to drink it afterwards as well, because that's all going to be considered to be fruit salad, one thing. Now, I do want to give you the caveat. There are poskim that are machmir. It is interesting. There are poskim that are machmir that don't like grapes in the fruit salad because of the mashkin shezavu, because of the juice that flows out. But again, there are plenty of poskim that hold that halacha l'maaseh, any juice that does flow out is considered to be like juice that flows out into a salad. And by the way, there's even a bigger reason to be makel, because we'll say you're even allowed to actively squeeze grapes into food, right? The fruit salad is not even a case where I'm actively squeezing the grapes, right? In other words, it's oozing out. So it's oozing out into a bowl of solid food. So therefore, again, many posts can bring down that Allah is totally permitted. Yes. Because if he's going, it seems to be the logic is like this. Squeezing a liquid into another food essentially negates the identity of the item being extracted as a liquid. So therefore, again, that's why the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah says it's kimafrit ochel min ha'ochel. But that logic only seems to work when it's going from a solid item into a solid item. The moment it's going from a solid item into a liquid, then the juice has its identity as a liquid as well. That's what it sounds like. Now, if it's solid and liquids mixed together, like, in other words, you could do this like into a stew, right? But it seems to be that this halacha does not apply to squeezing into liquids. Again, we'll see. We're not finished yet. This is going to come up in our lemon discussion in just a little bit. But the pashtos, that's the logic. That, again, when you're taking the juice from a solid fruit and putting it into another solid, it's almost as if you've negated the identity of the juice as juice, and it just becomes a piece of solid food. Mafrit ochel me'ochel. All right. So let's take a look at source number 22. So actually, we saw this Beis Yosef when we did Smichas Chavar also. This was a very entertaining Beis Yosef. Let's take a look at this. So watch this. He says, Shekasav Harash. Source number 22. Shekasav Harash. He says, V'zeleshono, V'sheshalta al schitas limonish. What about squeezing lemons? Squeezing lemons on Shabbos. Nirashem bechlal shar peros. Now, I want to give you the context over here. The context here that they're dealing with is not squeezing lemons into food. Stam, squeezing lemons. Or I'll say, because let's take a step back for just a moment. Remember, I'll say, are you allowed to squeeze the juice out of fruits on Shabbos? Not a trick question. Depends. Okay, come on. You can't give it. Depends. Thank you. Hey, are you allowed to squeeze the fruit juice out of fruit on Shabbos?
Yes.
Yes, if they're category 3, right? If it's Sharperos. I know it depends. You have to tell me why it depends. Right? So if it's category 3 fruit, in other words, so it's not Zeisivan Lavim, it's not Tusim Verimonim, it's Sharperos, which means fruits that are generally not juiced, then Halacha L'maisa, you're allowed to actively juice that on Shabbos. Not a problem. It's not Mepharik. It's not Mepharik, because the juice itself. So that's the context of this question, right? This is not a question of squeezing lemons into solids or into food. This is, can we squeeze lemons on Shabbos? Can we extract lemon juice on Shabbos? So listen to this. He writes over here, Nira, Shem Bechlal Sharperos. So the Rosh says, yeah, you definitely can. Why? Because lemons are category 3. Lemons are category 3. They're Sharperos, they're other fruit. Shemutu L'sachtan. Shein derech klal lischot limonish letzorech mashke el letzorech ochel umutter lesachtan b'shabbos. Because we'll say that this is very interesting. What he says is because no one really uses the juice, right? No one really uses the juice of lemons, right? If anything, they're only used really for food, right? And therefore, aloch alamaisa, you could squeeze it. So the Rosh paskins that lemons fit into category 3 sharperos. Now, of course, again, we'll say, a little bit anticlimactic for us because we saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman who said that there's really no category 3 anymore. Okay, but this is like a little bit of a historical journey in the juicing of fruit. Okay, good. Not enough the most exciting journey, but all right. A journey we have to take regardless. So let's go back to it. So that's the Rosh. V'yeshlet moa. So this is really interesting. So the Beis Yosef says, but this is very strange. He says, Shebe Mitzrayim noagin lischot limonish lesoch mayim. Shenasnu bahem sukar lishtos letanug. Listen to this. In Egypt, they would drink lemonade. They would drink lemonade. What would they do? They would squeeze lemon juice into water that had sugar water. So they prepare sugar water, and then they would squeeze the lemons into the sugar water to make lemonade. Ve'ein nipnoa mipneikach l'sachtan b'shapas l'soch osamayim. And now, so it says, interesting, and like, no one stops them in Egypt from doing this. So no one says anything. When all these Egyptian Jews are making fresh lemonade on Shabbos, no one's saying anything. He says, V'lo ra'inu misha micha bi'adam. No one's objecting. Right? V'lo ra'inu. Also, because who else knows what else they were putting in? It was like a little bit of Iraq in there also, I think. Right? So no one's objecting. No one's objecting to this practice. And no one's bothered by it. So the shayla is like, why? Why? In other words, so we'll say, what's the problem? If you're making lemonade, what does that show? That you want the juice. If you want the juice, right, and it's normally juice, then what category is that in? Number 2, Tusim V'rimonim. If it's Tusim V'rimonim, you're not allowed to actively squeeze it. So what's happening over here? So we'll say, listen, this is fascinating. This is ve'efshar. This is fascinating. Delo mitzar elekisha shosin me'schita sapri belo ta'aroves mashke acher. So the Beis Yosef offers a very interesting idea. He says, maybe the only time that juicing is problematic is when the juice that is extracted from the fruit is consumed by itself. Or we'll say, can be consumed by itself. Right? However, we'll say, obviously, but remember, with lemon juice, what can you do with lemon juice by itself? Can't drink it, right? You can't do anything with it, right? It's too sour to drink it. So the Maaseh, see, he suggests something amazing. He says, maybe the only time that there is an issue of schita by fruit, category 2 fruit, is when, or of course category 1, is when when the juice that is extracted can be consumed on its own. But when the juice itself cannot be consumed with its own, by its own, without the addition of other additives, that's not slita. It's not nefarik. Inami, the other possibility is, inami, delo misar elikisha sochtin meimav levad, the achakach ma'arvin osam. Avalima minag lischot meimav lesoch mashka achar shari. Interesting. Other possibility is, when is schita aser? When is schita aser? When you squeeze the liquid and the liquid is extant on its own, right? It's there, it's sitting in the kli. But if the derech is from the beginning to only squeeze the liquid into another concoction, then ultimately that's going to be mutter. That's going to be mutter. So we'll say, so a lot of stuff happening over here, right? So here's what's interesting. So on one hand, we start with the Rush, right? The Rush says there's no problem with squeezing lemons at all on Shabbos. What's the Rush's logic? What's the Rush's logic? It's Sharperos. No one does this. Okay, basically it says, here's the problem is, people do it. People do it. I will say, obviously, it's the societal also, right? So in Egypt, people are doing it. Now again, I will say, the science of how they made the lemonade is also very important to this discussion. See, that's why the Beis Yosef spells this out. How do they make lemonade, Rabbi Yosef? How do they make lemonade? Make a concoction of water and sugar and squeeze the lemons directly into that. That's how they're making lemonade. So the Beis Yosef says, okay, so maybe there's two things happening over here. Number one, is maybe the issue of schita is only when the juice is used on its own. But if the juice cannot be used on its own, but only in combination with other items, maybe that's not schita. Furthermore, it's only schita when you squeeze the juice by itself into a receptacle. But if the juice from the beginning is already being added to a concoction, maybe that's not schita. Okay, so a lot happening over here. So let's analyze a little bit. We'll say number 23. Shulchan Aruch writes, Mutar lischot limonish. Okay. So this is pretty straightforward. Shulchan Aruch says you can squeeze lemons on Shabbos. Okay, so what's this? And obviously, this requires a little bit, like on what, into what, for what, who's that? Okay, so it comes to the Mishnah Berurah. So look what he writes. Lischot limonish, ubil shonenu citrin, vahainu afilu lemashkin. So we'll say, so now, just to point out over here, now we'll say, it goes without saying that you could squeeze lemons onto a piece of fish, right? Why? That's mashkin l'soch ochlin. That's mutter. So that's not even being discussed over. That's obvious that it's okay. Mishnah Berurah says no. When the Shulchan Aruch says that you can squeeze lemons, it means you could even squeeze lemons into liquid, right? He says va'af shederach l'sachtan b'chol. Even though, again, Mishnah Berurah says, even though we squeeze lemons, right? We use lemon juice. Kevan shein derech klal esacht v'nesorech mashke. Ela letabel bo ochel havi kishar peros. So we'll say, so watch this. The Mishnah Berurah says, we'll say, lemon juice, the liquid, is never used as a drink on its own. Because it's never used as a drink, but rather, what is it used for? What is it used for? So here, his example is, it's used as a dip or as a dressing, right? Therefore what? It has the status of sharperos. So we'll say, this is really interesting. What the Mishnah Berurah is adding in over here is like this. See, what's just so fascinating about this sugya are like the ever-evolving definitions, right? So now we'll say, what the Mishnah Berurah is saying is like this. Category number three, sharperos. What's category number three? So we've always been defining it as fruits that are not juiced. Mishnah Berurah says it's not what it means. Category number three, or sharperos, are fruits that are not juiced in order to use the liquid as a juice. If that made sense, right? Category number three are fruits that are not juiced in order to use the liquid for straight liquid consumption, right? But if you have a fruit that is juiced, but the juice itself is not used as a consumable liquid. Instead, ultimately, again, like in this case, it's used as an additive, as a dip, as something else. Then that's category three. That's category three. And therefore, all juicing is permitted for category three. So incredible. So also, in other words, so you could have something, and this is very important. We thought up until now, let me say this once more. We thought up until now that sharperos meant, refers to fruit that are what? That are what? Not juiced. Now the Mishnah Berurah says that's not true. Category three could be fruit that are juiced. But it's fruits that are juiced, but the juices are never used for straight consumption. The juices are always used for something secondary. That's category three. That's sharperos. And therefore, ultimately, it's permitted to squeeze them. So therefore, again, I will say, do people squeeze lemons? All day long. Right? All day long. But lemaisa, because no one ever drinks lemon juice straight, therefore, halacha lemaisa, it falls into the category of sharperos. And because it's sharperos, you're even allowed to actively squeeze lemons on Shabbos. Incredible. Incredible. Va'afilu. He says, ima derech l'sachtan b'chol. So that's number one. So we're going to see Mishnah Berurah is going to make a number of points over here. That's point number one. Point number two. Va'afilu ma'derech l'sachtan b'chol l'soch ma'yishnas lemen tzuka l'shtos l'tanug. And we'll say, even though during the week, what often happens, people squeeze lemons into a concoction of water and sugar, and then they have a drink, an enjoyable drink. Mikol makom, no'agina olam l'hakeh l'aso zeh b'shabbos. People are mekel. And people make fresh lemonade on Shabbos. Fascinating. People make fresh lemonade on Shabbos. Why is that? Ve'efshar demishum delo mitzar, ela kishaderech lishtos mei schitas apri gambalo taroves mashka acher. Why? So why do people make fresh, why people have to make fresh lemonade? Now, both say, now what I want to point out is, remember, if you hold that lemons fit into sharperos, then aloch lemaisa, there's no problem squeezing them all together, right? That's number one. That's number one. Number two, he says, the definition of mefarik by peros is when the liquid that is extracted is used on its own. But if the liquid itself is never used on its own, but it's only used in a combination with something else, in this case, water and sugar, that's not called mefarik. That's number two, which is really similar to number one. Inami, the lo mitzar elikish esok to meimav levad, the acharkach ma'avin osam, avalim ha-minog lischot meimav lesoch mashka achar, liton botam shari. But furthermore, number three is the only time it's schita is when the juice itself is squeezed and let's say into a kli on its own. But because the derech to make lemonade is the lemon juice itself is never collected independently, rather it's squeezed directly into the sugar water concoction. Therefore, totally mutter. I was saying incredible. He says ulafize bizman hazeh sheyadur shememal in chavis lemeos lishtos im punch beizem akomos. Sarach ian godel im mutter l'sakta m'shabas l'soch mashka, de'efshar de'dami l'tusim v'rimonim, kevan de'derach l'sakhtan b'kelim b'fnei atzmon, v'yakin tzarech l'izar sh'yischult mikodim ala tzukar b'fnei atzmo, t'havi kemashka haba l'ochal. So Rabosei, here's the problem. The Mishnah Berurah says, but one for a second, things have changed. People make lemonade. And what else do people do? People make barrels of lemonade. Right? Barrels of hard lemonade, soft lemonade, right? All kinds of things, right? All kinds of things. And he says very often now what people do is they do collect the lemon juice in a receptacle of its own and then mix it in. So we'll say, therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says it's hard to say that lemons are in the category of sharperos. Rather, what you really have to say is that lemons are in the category of tusim v'rimonim. Oh. So if lemons are in the category of tusim v'rimonim, we'll say, then what's the halacha? What's the halacha? Can't squeeze them on Shabbos. But he does give an eitzah. What's the eitzah? Squeeze the lemons onto the sugar. The sugar is a solid food. So what you can do is squeeze the lemons onto the sugar and then take that mixture. So that's, again, that's mashkin l'soch ochlin. That's going to be mutter. And then take that and go ahead and mix it in. V'chin l'soch tol atavshil v'agabia ochel pshita d'shari. Now, I will say certainly to go ahead and mix lemon, squeeze lemon into food, that's going to be totally fine. V'da, aruch, limonish, hainu kodem. Okay, so this is a different halacha of, if they're pickled, which we're going to leave for now. So bottom line, what comes out over here is the fascinating evolution of lemons. So right, by the time we, when we start the Mishnah Berurah, right, the Mishnah Berurah is convinced that lemons really fall into the category of sharperos. And as sharperos, what can you do with lemons? Anything you want. By the time we get to the end of Mishnah Berurah, he says, it's tusim v'rimonim. Well, it's tusim v'rimonim, again, I can't actively squeeze it. So what is my eitzah if I want a fresh glass of lemonade on Shabbos? There is an eitzah. What's the eitzah? Squeeze the lemon juice onto sugar. then mix the sugar into the water, and Shalom Aleichem, you have your fresh glass of lemon. I will say, so we'll have to stop over here. We're going to finish. I don't want to rush. So we'll finish up the last two Maariv Makomos. We'll see what Rav Avadja has to say, what the Aruch HaShulchan has to say. We'll finish up in Mirza and the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is going to be pretty strict with this. We'll see. We'll finish this up next week, Rav Osai. And the Mirza Hashem, very exciting. Next week, we are beginning Borer. Wide world of Borer is going to be incredibly exciting in Mirza Hashem. Rav Osai, Shkayach Amud Yomi starts in 2 minutes. Shkayach, everyone. Terrible.